What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Pudding H, a diehard Simpsons podcast. My name is Jerry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well. Terry, and how are you?
I too am well. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, I'm just wondering, I've never seen you before, pal. I don't know you, man.
Dude, I don't know you.
How the bloody hell are you, pal?
You know what? I'll join you.
What you think about that? Ooh. Bottoms up, huh? That's a double Coke. Oh, you've got the legit Coke Zero. Well, I've got the newfangled Coca-Cola
Zero. I've got Coke
Zero.
Classic. Now, you might notice I'm drinking a Coke Zero sans alcoholic beverage.
I did notice. What's the deal?
Cleaning my act up, Andy.
Oh.
Detox, baby. Also, that's why I'm wearing a beanie. I'm sweating profusely. It's a cold sweat.
How long are you detoxing for?
I'm going to give it like 6 weeks.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you normally have something to drink every night?
Not every night, but most nights.
Yeah.
Most nights.
Like most people, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Sounds like a lot. It sounds, I mean, I'm sure it won't be that tough. But that's, it no. sounds tough. 6 weeks for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, good on you. You know what I mean?
But it's 6 weeks of no booze and eating well is the plan.
Good.
And
good.
I'm trying to get back on my fitness buzz, and I realise what's killing me is my diet.
That's what, as my old man says, abs are made in the kitchen.
Man, screw off. No offence, but I didn't ask your old man's opinion.
I'm the same though. I'm like, any sort of, like, I'll do exercise and then gorge.
Yeah, that's what it was. Something. On Saturday, I was like, oh, and it's like, it's Easter. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way. Fucking sweets and chocolate and, you know.
Lads, to anyone listening, I've been added to the group.
He made it.
I made it. And it's already had an effect. I've done 2 runs since being added, since the last pod. I'll probably do one tomorrow as well.
Pretty good times as well, TPH.
Well, thank you. Well, the first one, Terry, oh my God, this run that I was doing, it was only a 5K run, but I mean, I stopped maybe every 90 seconds. And like I was saying, like last year I was up to a pretty good standard. I did like 12K without stopping. And I was like, oh yeah, great. So 5K would be nothing. And Jesus, it was. And I tell you what, the importance of eating something within the last, say, 5 hours. I didn't realize the importance of having
energy,
food,
fuel, inside
you. Energy. Yeah.
See, what they say, the trick is, if you want to burn fat, is actually to do it on an empty stomach.
Oh,
is great. The best fat burning thing. But it's very hard because, like you say, you need the fuel. So what they actually suggest is like to do it first thing in the morning.
Gummies.
Excuse me?
don't people eat gummies sometimes?
Oh, like
for the glucose or the energy or whatever?
Yeah, like, or those Jaffa cakes or those chalk sweets, like, you know.
Say no more. I got a packet of gummies right here, pal.
Give me a look.
No, I don't have them here. I'll just pop a few of those.
Yeah, see how that does you.
All of a sudden, I'm just swimming in the ocean. How did I get here?
But it's
a very good group, I have to say. It's very,
it's,
you know,
positive. And if there is
exactly
a bit of
a
tease, it's, you know, it's...
It's all in good fun.
It's lightly teasing, you know?
Long may it continue.
How was your Easter?
It was very good, actually. It was, the weather was nice. Did I tell you I put down some new flooring?
No, you did not.
Yeah, put down some new flooring.
Carpet or like...
Wood. Wood,
ooh,
Terry.
Nice. Wood. It's the wood that makes it good.
I don't know what we were thinking getting the line now that we got, to be honest. Because it was for like the sort of where the bathroom and sort of kitcheny area is. And like I seem to remember at the time we were in a real rush to get into the house by a certain time. So it was literally like going to the shop. They have three different rolls of lino. Just like, yeah, that one. You know, what wallpaper? That one.
Lino, like, because my dad was a carpet fitter and lino fitter for many a year. So, like, I am well versed in the pitfalls, let me tell you.
I should have given you a call.
I would have been of no help unless I could have been on site. Really.
Should have given Mick a call.
Yeah, who's this?
the sheep shagger.
We'll save that story for our Patreon.
It's not how it sounds, folks. Yeah,
it's exactly how it sounds.
No, it isn't. But yeah, I didn't do a whole lot, but you know what? I had a great time. It felt like I was off for like 2 weeks.
Were you off Friday?
I was, and Monday. I was obviously, but and I didn't even know until, like I said, that week. We're off for Good Friday, Easter, Monday. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was off Monday, but I was had to work Friday because the way it works in my job is they give you the days, like extra holiday days, so like you can spend them on Good Friday and, you know, I think Christmas Eve is another one. Right. So they like you're entitled to take them, but they're not. Like some people want to work on them, so that's fine. Right. And I would normally take it off, but I had my like month end close off, so I couldn't take it off. So I was like, oh, I'm taking this Friday off though, because I'll be damned if I'm getting screwed out of my Good Friday.
This is going to be my Good Friday.
Absolutely, it's better than have the, you know, the day to myself.
Excellent.
Sort of, but yeah.
And now you wouldn't have got paid extra for working extra, do you?
No, because it's like. It's a paid holiday day, you know, annual leave if you want to take it.
Oh, I get you.
Not like when we used to work in the shop, when you'd be working bank holidays, you'd get double time.
Double time, I wish.
Time and a quarter.
Time and a quarter. Have you ever heard of that? So stingy.
Surely that wasn't legal.
And it never changed, even like all through the years, it was time and a quarter. Yeah. Every time I told that to anyone else who worked in a shop, they would laugh their ass off. Like, what?
Old man Griffin's got you guys by the balls.
What have you
shouldn't
been up
have said
to?
His name.
Don't give him your name, never tell him your name.
Oh crap. No, it was quiet Easter, really. You know, not much you can be doing. I was watching a few things over the holidays.
There he is.
That's me.
Like what?
I watched, and I don't know if you watched it. I texted you to watch it. I don't think you watched it. Bad Trip?
No, but you know what? It was only for the fact that I didn't. It was funny getting your take on it because it was like you were enjoying it more and more every few minutes.
Oh, Andy! Oh my God! This
I put
movie.
Something on thinking that was it, but I couldn't see it. If I'd have come across it in my thumbnails, I'd have gone into it.
I'm surprised it didn't come up, like, because it's on my thing, on my profile. How would I describe it? It's Eric Andre. You know him?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Like, he's this, like, I would call him a chaos demon of a comedian.
Oh,
like, he is
Eric Andre. Oh, jeez.
He's out there, like, extreme comedy.
Right, okay.
And then there's you saw Get Out, did you?
Yes.
So, you know, the friend, Daniel Kaluuya's friend, who works for the TSA in Get Out, the guy's on the phone to him, like, get out of that house, they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
He's in it as well. And then, I don't know if you know Tiffany Haddish.
Yes, I do.
So these are the three main players in the movie. And then they're in a film. They have a storyline, okay?
Yeah.
But the film plot line is like Borat in that like it involves real people.
Who don't know.
Who don't know. It's hidden camera. So it's like Jackass, Borat, whatever you want to... And Andy, I had chest pains from laughing so much. And then the next day I was like, my chest is still sore. Like, am I feeling too run down? Or like, you know, like...
Did I just laugh too hard?
Oh, but it was so funny. That, like, it's this weird thing. You're like morally, like, you're kind of sus. It's kind of suspect in that, like, you're like, you're really taking like, it,
prank show.
Yeah, but you're taking advantage of these people, and so a lot of them are like, you're like, oh, they don't deserve to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, but generally, I find pranking to be a young man's game.
And the first of all, the way the prank, like, there's a really nice bit. The whole plot is like Eric Andre sees this girl, his high school crush, and he like wants to travel to New York. They're in Florida. He wants to travel to New York to tell her he loves her.
Yeah.
And he sits down on a park bench, and there's an old black man there, and he's like, I just met a girl, my high school crush. I'm in love with her. And he's like, oh man, good for you, or whatever. You know, he's real like positive. And then like he gets up and he's like, I'm in love. I'm in, like, as in like he's doing a musical number in the movie. And everybody's just kind of like looking at him like,
what the fuck?
And then the guy on the bench is like, he's in love. Like, you know. And then it just like, so like that, I was like, that's really funny and it's really sweet. And then it's like, yeah, okay, we've done that. And then like a car drives by and he jumps up onto the car and he's like, and
all right.
Like, I don't know if the guy driving the car.
Why haven't I heard of this?
Oh, like, it's,
like, when
it only came out last week, I think. I think it only came out last week. But like, that's one of the tamer pranks. That's like, but like, some of the stuff where, like, each thing is a set piece, you know what I mean? Each plot part is a set. They go to a bar and they get drunk and, you know, something happens there. You know,
it sounds interesting, though.
It's not, like, you're not going to say it's the best film you'll ever see, but it is.
Just a good time.
Oh, 100%. Like, if you're looking to laugh at something, my God, always. It's so good.
All right.
So
I'm going to try this by the next time we record. And I will let you know what I think.
It's on Netflix.
I'll let you folks at home know the real story.
It's a Netflix original film. Like, I think you'll be laughing after like 3 minutes. Because I certainly was by the unexpected nature of like what was happening.
I like it. Okay. Okay, so I'm giving that a go.
That was a good Bad Trip.
Bad Trip. Okay.
That was a good Friday night for me.
Okay. What else you got?
What else did I watch? We're almost finished, Your Honor. So that's, you know,
yeah,
it's chugging along quite nicely.
How is it?
I think it's really good.
Giving it a rating right now out of 10, decimal points are included.
7.5.
Okay, that's a hard pass for me. If you're giving something 7.5, that's an average man's 5.5.
No, because the acting is too good. But there's certain things you're like,
the plot, like the writing could be better, but the acting.
You're like, oh, okay, you're kind of stretching it a little bit here and there. Like the character of the son, I'm like, okay, like shut up or whatever, like, you know, get it, you know. And I don't
is
know
it basically the fact, now let me ask you this, sorry to cut across you for the millionth time on the podcast, but What if Bryan Cranston wasn't starring in it?
Yeah, I think you'd need somebody good. If it's not Bryan Cranston, somebody equally as good. You know what I mean?
Like, Nicolas Cage, something like that.
No. What? As a judge?
What? What? something like that, huh?
We'll get to Nicolas Cage later on. No, but like you would need somebody like...
Go on.
Not John Hamm, because he's too young, but like...
A good actor, Martin Freeman.
No, what? No, Martin Sheen would be closer.
Martin Sheen? Martin Freeman?
No, not Martin Freeman.
I feel like you're not hearing me. It's Freeman, I'm saying.
You're breaking up there, Andy. I also watched so we're almost finished. I think I finished Gangs of London. Finished out strong, I have to
say. Did it? Okay. Yeah. I stopped a few weeks ago. It kind of seemed a bit stupid. Do you know what I mean?
The action is worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like it's worth it for the action. I'm not sitting here saying this is the best show. But like it's a 10 episode
It's kind of rich series. That I don't like this, but Peaky Blinders is that kind of show as well. Exactly. And I absolutely love it. It's just that I haven't seen as much
I think
of it.
As well, if I'm looking for something, Peaky Blinders. Because when I finished Gangs of London, I was like, okay, I enjoyed that. Maybe I'll always forget to go to it.
And you liked it. You liked the first episode.
I liked the
episode,
first one, yeah. So, like, you know what?
What a gold mine you've got sitting there.
That's going on my list now. How about
that? Yes. Yeah. You won't regret it. I'll tell you what, mate. If you like Archie,
okay, never mind. You lost me. Oh yeah, you're doing the impression of that guy.
If you like Arctic Monkeys playing and a slow-mo walks down the street, you're gonna fucking love it, mate.
He's not, the guy was not Danny Dyer.
It's the only accent I know.
For the listeners out there, I was talking to a chap at a funeral a few years ago, and we were talking about he was interested in writing as well. Very nice guy, but he was like, oh, you haven't watched Peaky Blinders. He's like, if you like. What Andy said there. I'm not going to do the voice, but
do the voice.
If you no, I can't.
I love that. I love when you gear up for it.
Oh no, I can. Well, I can't do the voice, but you know.
I think of that all the time, and I said to Terry, I'm like, yes, it is that.
Yeah,
but it's also dead.
Good. Yeah.
Killian, but again, it's got that one strong like it's got great acting in it. Like Killian Murphy is amazing in it, and there's a few really good actors in it.
Yeah, and I'd be interested because, like you say, I mean, bar Aidan Gillen, who, you know, I don't know what he's doing most of the time. I know he comes into it later on. I don't know what planet he's living on. What accent?
Oh, Mr. Aberamagold. His name is Aberamagold, and he's
The Starks. Catlin, like, yeah, his voice is all out. The most
it's the same. Yeah, he plays Aidan Gillen in everything.
No, but the most convincing thing he was ever in for me was he was in The Wire and he was playing somebody from Baltimore, and you're like,
oh right,
I know you're from Drumcondra, but you sound more convincing as an American. Like,
that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aidan Gillen's in it. Fucking Tom Hardy, of course.
Well, Sam Neill was great in the first episode. So okay, you've got me. Yeah. I'm gonna go back to it. I mean, you watched You. In fairness,
that's true.
Maybe we should do another pilot season on the Patreon soon.
Yeah. Maybe do one on. No, I'm not going to say Amazon Prime because Amazon Prime is shite, and you're lying there. You're lying there.
Because I watched the movie on Amazon Prime, 92 minutes.
Walked right into that one, folks.
You set me up. It's still going out of the park.
It is out of here. What were you watching?
Smashes all the lights.
Fireworks.
Yeah. I watched a movie called The Perfect Host.
Okay.
You'll like this. You'll like this. If I pitch this to you.
Pitch it to me in one sentence. That'll hook me.
An injured bank robber needs a place to lay low. Yeah, you want to?
No, check, please. I'm pretending we're at a meal and I've heard enough. No, go on. Say it again.
So, an injured bank robber, after the robbery gone wrong, needs a place to lie low. Right. And he picks an unassuming house to stay. Little does he know... that he's just walked into the lion's den. he's like the guy in the house is Niles from Frasier. Okay, so it's the bank robber
the
is
Niles
in.
Den.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Thank you. Very good. Yeah. That's the podcast right here. Close up shop.
This is.
But he thinks he's going to like. Be able to lay low, and he talks his way into the house. Then he's like, he's going to hold him hostage, and then the tables get turned very quickly. It turns out that Niles, or his name is Warwick, in it,
a psychopath.
Yeah, he's got mental problems.
Of course, he is. Look at him. That's the only roles he's getting.
Look, I mean, I thought it was bloody great. So
is it like a comedy?
It's like a dark comedy and set in...
So no.
you're laughing at what Niles is getting up to because he's having a dinner party for people that don't exist. And
you're laughing at how crazy he is, kind of.
It's good. It's 90, 92 minutes. He's great. I love seeing him. I
do like seeing him.
I was like, geez, I forgot that like he was so good in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer was one of those, I mean, rare gems.
I'd love for them to do like 10 more episodes.
Yeah, because there was... Wasn't the movie first?
The movie was fantastic, and then they did the first day.
The series was arguably even better.
I think so. Like, I think the first day of camp... They did two series. They did first day of camp, and then 10 years later.
Yeah, I didn't see the 10 years later one.
Oh, man. It's great. It's so good, like, because they're all older or whatever. But, like, the first day of camp where, like, for some reason they had, like, John Hamm as Reagan's personal assassin... Like, I'm the Falcon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I think that was the one I seen then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's first day of camp. Like, yeah, that's such a good, like...
Just, like, it's just such a surreal, like, you know, he turns around and it's a tin of beans and it's talking. Man, Bob's Burgers voice.
Yeah.
Or, like, the thing that got me from the movie and the series was just any time there was a crash, it was a sound of, like, pottery breaking every time.
I remember... Like,
why is that so funny?
I brought that down to your house to watch and you're like, what is this? I was like, just, you know, like,
actually I didn't at the start, did I? Yeah, I was kind of like, a bit like, what is this?
But then, like, every time, I think it was actually every time you heard that, like, crash,
it was the pottery crash won me over. Yeah. I was just like, every time, like, am I imagining this or what? Or like, and then he's talking to someone, he just hands something off screen to someone. What is that now?
I just always think of that where he's like, she's like, oh, the kids would really appreciate it if you could come. He's like, oh no, I couldn't. And she's like, please. He's like, I said no.
Highly, highly recommend for anyone out there. Wet Hot American Summer, the movie.
And the two
and
series.
The series. I think, are they all on Netflix?
Yeah, they're the on Netflix. I think
highly
so.
Highly
recommend. Yeah. It's so, like, you can't go wrong with them. Like, like all-star cast as well. Like,
It was brilliant. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of was... up to over the weekend, really.
Well, Terry, can I talk to you for a second about something pretty serious?
Hit me.
Can I talk to you about the second episode of The Simpsons' eighth season, You Only Move Twice?
Sure.
sure. Well, Terry, it aired November 3rd, 1996. And it is based on a story idea by Greg Daniels. The writing staff came up with three major concepts. So the first involves Simpson's family moving away from Springfield. The writers initially hoped that the audience would be fooled into thinking the move was permanent. So they tried to work in as many characters during the first act to make them seem like the family was really leaving.
I did notice that. I kind of forgot that it, like, they're saying bye to everyone, like, bye.
I loved, and I'm get to it, but when Quimby is like, ah, so long. It's so loud. Bye. So exaggerated. The second idea involved Homer getting a new job with an employee-friendly boss, in stark contrast to the tyrannical Mr. Burns. And the third was that Homer's new boss would be a supervillain resembling Ernst Stavro Blofeld.
Now, I know you're not a Bondman.
Who that is?
Yeah, what a pity, Mr. Bond.
Oh, like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no way.
But they obviously veered away from that completely because the Bond movie is You Only Live Twice. And that's the first Bond movie with Blofeld in it.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
So, like, and it's very, like, his lair, I think his lair is in a volcano in Japan or something like that. Like, so it's very Dr.
Very Austin
Evil.
Powers-y.
Yeah. Austin Powers took a lot from it. But, like, his lair is also, like, fucking Scorpio's lair. In that, like, you know, it's giant weapons and, you know, people with guns and stuff like that.
Can I ask, were you ever a big Bond fan?
You know what? More, like, GoldenEye was my first Bond. And since then, I was, like, all of them. I've gone back and watched some of the other ones. I could never really get into them. Like, the Roger Moore ones, I was like, he's so old. I think if I watched them now, I would like them. Or, like, at least be like, what's going on here?
Like, what's so great about
it? Hey, Bond. That would be really interesting.
About 40 movies.
I've seen that one with Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, is that the one with Christopher Walken in it?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Christopher Walken was he was a bad guy in one. Him and Grace Jones. I think it's Live and Let Die.
All right.
Yeah.
But
I tell you what I do like about the Bond movies, just before I move on.
Yeah.
The theme songs. Like
they
even
are good, aren't they?
Like You Only Live Twice is a beautiful theme song, and you might remember Robbie Williams had Millennium, you know that?
Oh yeah.
That's taken from You Only Live Twice.
Oh, you know? Okay.
So
they do actually always have great ones, don't they?
Except for that fucking douchebag Sam Smith.
What did he have? The latest one?
He did the one for Spectre, The Writing's on the Wall. And it won the Oscar, and he was like, I'm the first openly gay man to win an Oscar, and the people were like,
Was he?
No, he wasn't. No, not at all. Like, just like, boo this man.
I was trying to think, there was a song that I absolutely loved that was a Bond song. It'll be too much dead air for me
Dance
to think of it. So
into the fire. No. Nobody does it better.
No, that was great too. I only just think of Alan Partridge though when I hear that. Remember when he's doing the James Bond marathon?
No.
And he acts out the start of Goldfinger, and he's like, he does the whole thing. He's like, nobody does it better. And it's like, oh, bit of bush makes me feel sad. Anyway, now back to more pressing matters, Terry. Cypress Creek was originally called Emerald Caverns during most of the production.
Cypress Creek better.
Yeah, it has had more of a Silicon Valley feel.
Mm.
Now, the show's writers did not worry too much about perfecting Scorpio's lines because they knew our man, Albert Brooks,
my God,
would rewrite or ad-lib new ones. How good?
Is it a kind of a Where's Poochie episode where, like, when he's not on screen, where is he? But why, even by Homer's reactions to him are like, huh.
Well, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, like, you know.
Because, that's interesting you say that, because Dan Castellaneta described how after he prepared something for Homer to say in response to Brooks's new Scorpio lines, Brooks would deliver totally different lines on the next take. So Josh Weinstein said that Homer's reactions are exactly like those of someone talking to Albert Brooks.
Yeah, and it's very telling that he was like, yes, or, you know, like, it's just like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
And like, I'd wonder if his, you know, because that would be an equally good ad lib where he's like, you ever see a man say goodbye to his shoes? Like,
once.
Yeah, because that seems like a fairly quick sort of quippy reply.
100%. Like,
yes, sir, I will notice that.
Yeah,
after its original broadcast, You Only Move Twice finished 50th in Nielsen ratings with a rating of 8.5, equivalent to approximately 8.2 million viewing households, and was the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following
Millennium. X-Files then. God damn
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Millennium dropped off a cliff after last week. Yeah.
What was Millennium? Did we
it
have
was
that over here?
Aliens. Yeah, it was on Sky One. Something to do with aliens.
I knew I had a Sky One feel.
Yeah. But back when Sky One was like, you know, this is
only the kind of shit.
No, but the big show went to Sky One. You know what I mean? The big new American show went to Sky One.
Yeah, it did. Like Shasta McNasty. Do you remember that?
Do I ever? Or
you had a look in your face where you turned away with such seriousness. You were either going to turn back and be like, fuck off with Shasta McNasty, or do I ever?
Do you not remember then they dropped the McNasty?
Yeah, they dropped the McNasty. It was just Shasta.
I'm trying to think, was it Vern Troyer?
Yes,
yeah, he was added to it. Because it was Jake Busey. Jake Cockadoodle Busey.
Jake Busey, jeez. Of Gary, Gary Busey?
Yeah, Gary Busey's son.
He looks like him.
He is him, like, sans.
He's got the choppers for it.
Just less crazy, I'm assuming. But there was also, was it Titus? Do you remember Titus?
Titus?
Yeah. And it was it was a comedy show. Stacey Keach was in it.
Let me see. Titus...
Mechanics or something, but it was good. It was
I never seen that one.
It was these kind of spate of body US comedies that were on Sky One
2000.
Yeah.
Why is it that when I see something was released in 2000, I assume it's trash?
Well, because it is. It was that, like, the real world has just taken off. MTV is slowly moving towards original programming. It's reality TV. You know, it's all that, like...
It's turning.
Yeah. The 2000s were the fuck... Like, the early 2000s were the worst for just, like, culture.
Yeah.
Not even like, films, because there was good films and stuff, but, like...
It's like just, it doesn't have an identity, almost.
There's been no reclamation of that era. You know, it's like the 80s nostalgia, the 90s nostalgia. There's not going to be a 2000s. I hope not, anyway.
Interesting.
I hope not. You know?
It's mad, because I remember, like, back in, like, 2000, say, like... Baggy clothes were everywhere. Like, I remember wearing clothes that were so baggy. Like, if it rained, capillary action like no one's business. Up to your knees would be soaking. It's mad to think now. But anyway. Yeah. Oh, one last thing I watched that was released in 2000 before we get proper into the episode. Sorry, everyone. Was
Castaway. Don't apologize to them. Castaway, great Castaway. Movie.
Now, it is good, right?
I'd love to watch it again. I'd love
it's
to watch
a bit
it
sad, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's why make that movie? Why make this movie where it's like he's on the island, he's thinking of his wife the whole time, he creates a friend, he gets off the island, and then, but his wife thought he was dead, so she remarried and had another kid and can't be with him. The end.
What do you mean? Why make it? It's a movie.
Why make that the ending, like?
Oh, it has to be the ending. You can't have the happy ending for
just
a film.
Just get off the island but and like for call a film, it there.
Come on.
He's dealing with Wilson. His loss. Wilson is his loss. That's
and
enough.
Now
he's lost everything.
You want to see what a little bit of what he's like when he gets back to the real world. Like, did you see Captain Phillips?
Yes. Brilliant.
So, yeah, and imagine if they didn't put that bit at the end when... He's in shock.
Yeah, but even give me that. Like, give me a press conference or something. You know what I mean?
A press conference.
I don't know. Something. Like, yes, he's off and he's fine, and we've acknowledged that, and we can turn it off now.
I need to see.
I finished watching it now. I'm like, I'm sad now. Anyway,
you need
Terry,
to get in touch with your. Inner Andy.
No thanks.
It's okay to feel sad, Andy.
Look, I don't mind in the right con. I don't know. I don't know what point.
Clearly, you do.
Can we just get into it?
Please.
Monty Burns.
I work for Monty Burns. Smithers. Oh, Smingers. He's just. I love his hat that he's wearing. As well,
it's like he's feeling good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did love, first of all, how I never noticed before how sinister the limo pulling up was. Like, it was almost like they had a little music cue or something in it that it was like, oh, and like they're just kind of stalking him. And then the fact that they used the word life partner. It's like, how do they know? Like,
and that seemed to be the thing that made Spinner's like, and it's like, I told you no. You
know, it's like, can a man walk down the street without being offered a job?
Yeah. And then, is it wrong of me to say that the lady in the back of the limo was kind of hot for a Simpsons character?
Yes.
Okay, scratch it then.
No problem. Homer. She's hardly Lola Bunny we're talking about here.
Well, few are. That's what we should do with Patreon on. Top 5 hottest cartoon characters. I'm veering dangerously close to me, British territory.
I think Tony, you're like getting a call from Tony.
The Cantwell name has been dragged through the mud enough.
He's jumping in the mud. He's hardly dragging his name.
Oh, very good. And then the fact that like they just go by seniority and Homer
here's
just accepts.
One for you.
Yeah.
Peggy Hill.
No.
Peggy Hill. She'd be DTF, man.
Peggy, hang on a second. Come on now. Come on now, Terry.
She'd be a fucking freak.
That one picture. No, I don't even mean that. No, forget it. I don't even. Suddenly, I'm gone all shy.
Hey man, just own
what
it.
What is
right?
this? What is this podcast today?
You opened this door, counselor.
Oh god. Anyway, yeah, Homer just accepts the job like that.
I will say I have been awake since 4:45 this morning, so ooh, I might be a bit loopy at this
sweet
stage.
Delirium. Hello. Yeah, I was a fan of the line of, you know, because Marge is obviously clearly annoyed that Homer has accepted this job and moved the family to a new location. And she's like, Bart's lawyer is here.
Yeah.
For some reason, I got a little chuckle out of that.
I just like where Homer, she's like saying, you took the job without discussing it with your family. He's like, of course not. I wouldn't do that. Why not?
It's like he thinks, in his head, he thinks he's done, you know,
yeah, he's
a good
done.
Thing.
And really, like, if he had discussed it with marriage or whatever, it would have been.
Probably would have said, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The idea of Homer, I just thought it was real sweet where he's like, promise not to laugh.
Yeah.
I always wanted to own the Dallas Cowboys. And they all start laughing at him, like, oh, Homer. Like,
plus, I love Lisa's, like, it's like Lisa's the adult. She's like, I'm sorry, Dad, I just find that very cute.
Yeah. I mean, it is cute, like.
Yeah. And then I knew straight away when they put in the town for, or when they put in the video for the Cypress Creek town ad or whatever, I knew what voice I'd be getting.
Yeah.
You know, it's that classic, like, Cypress Creek is blah, blah, blah. You know, and someone ought to build a town that works.
Yeah, I did like that. Hold
someone
on.
Someone did.
Like, what a dump. You know, like that. Like,
yeah. I just love the whole vibe of.
You know what the voice is very reminiscent of?
Yeah.
Is the, like, the last Albert Brooks one, the, like, what was the Brad Goodman?
There's no trick to it. It's just a simple trick.
But. The video voice for that as well, like,
yeah,
and the music and all, like, it was just very
reminiscent. It's very, like, it's very 90s, you know what I mean, like the 90s sort of music and all. And so, yeah, so they all love it. And
well, Homer being like, let's watch something else, and like, you want us to move here, it's like, oh, yeah, let's watch this,
yeah. I like the fact, like, did you see how they weren't pushing each other down like they do here,
yeah.
And so, like, they agree to it just as the chimney collapses. It's like, let's do it.
Yeah.
You
get a couple of, like, they're trying to sell the house. Otto shows up. Ooh, windows.
Yeah.
Apu being a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Then Bart kind of falls. They zip along here. Bart falls through the ceiling.
I quite like that, to be honest. Like, Marge and Homer are just chatting in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And, like, you see his feet dangling from the roof.
It'll
she
help.
Just gets the broom, like, she's not even acknowledging it's happening. She's still talking to Homer as she's just using the broom.
I didn't understand this, where it's like, even if we sell the house, we don't come close to paying off the mortgage. And it's like, hey, it's like, so if you abandon the house, the bank isn't going to, like, give you bad credit. Like, my whole thing was like,
is it basically like they're just leaving almost to the witness protection program or something?
It was like, okay, I understand that, like, the bank will take the house, but the house, and if they've abandoned the house, fair enough. But, like, also, you're still going to be like, your credit rating is going to be fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not going to be able to get a new house.
Yeah. I mean, just because, I mean, say something like it doesn't work out in Cypress Creek. What happens then? Huh?
And then you have all the townspeople going goodbye and all their little
before that, though, like, the whole Ned Flanders,
oh yeah,
and like,
poor Flanders,
yeah, he's like, the power sander, the downstairs bathtub, you're gonna be needing those things, Cypress Creek,
Oakley-doakley.
Like, out of Homer just being like, Oakley-doakley.
Homer just knows how to play Flanders so much. Like, even a few episodes ago where he's offering him his beach house and all, and he's just like, keep going.
Like, play him like a fiddle.
And then, Quimby's always a big fan of his. Ah, oh, so long. but I like all the goodbyes.
Bye-bye. I liked how everybody, like, was at the school to say goodbye, you know? Millhouse, you get Chalmers, you know?
And, you know, the penny kind of dropped when I was researching this a little bit, in that they said it took a long time to animate because they had to do all these new scenes and all that sort of stuff. And, like, it kind of explains why there's not really Because anyway, we're always saying like, oh, I love the episodes where they're doing something different or where they're somewhere else.
Yeah, where there's not
that's
too many.
That's why
there.
They don't have them, because I'd say they're so arduous. They have to create a whole new backdrop, you know?
Yeah. So they get to the house. 15201 Maple Systems Road.
Very nice.
That's a quiz question there, and I would never get the answer to. You know what
it
I mean?
It is. Yeah. It screams Simpsons quiz.
Yeah.
We should do some sort of Simpsons quiz.
Hey, man, I did a Simpsons quiz in college to raise money for our radio station. And there was a big bit of controversy because I asked Mr. Burns' age. It was one of the questions.
Yeah.
Now, what would you have answered?
102?
Well, 104 is the right answer. So, but like some people were like saying it's 79 because he was like, I have been 79 for a while, haven't I, Smithers? You know, like...
Oh, clearly he's... they didn't get that.
No. They were like, well, he said he's 79. I'm like, and I had to be like, this is like a tie break. This is like... for whoever to win. Like, and I was like...
This is like from The Office.
Yeah. Yeah.
The witch is not true. Spock is half Vulcan, half human.
I was like, just accept what the quizmaster's answer, please. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, really, that should be the end of it, really.
Yeah. jerks.
Excuse me.
And they're greeted by Hank Scorpio.
I love him already.
Yeah.
That's my first note. I love him already. And then how much, I'd love to know specifically what's Albert Brooks. Because that whole thing of like, you like those moccasins? There's like, if you look in your closet, there's a pair for you. Don't like them? Neither do I. Get the hell out of here, shoes. Like, he's just unleashed.
Yeah, like there was just so many, and I was just like looking at like Homer's reactions, like we were talking about earlier on, that I was just like, I was loving all those as well, because Brooks is just like unloading.
Yeah, and Homer's just delivering these.
Or like even where Marge is like, I keep expecting to get the bums rush. He's like, we don't have bums in this town, Marge, and if we did, they wouldn't rush. They'd be allowed to move at their own pace. He's like, okay, now I gotta go. I'm in the middle of a fun run. I'll see you at work.
That made me laugh so hard.
I keep expecting to get the bums rush.
We don't have bums in our town, Marge, and if we did, they wouldn't rush. They'd be allowed to go at their own pace. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm in the middle of a fun run. See you at work tomorrow. Although I don't really like to call it work.
I'm in the middle of a fun run.
He's like, I'll see you at work. Although I don't like to call it work. It's the octave changes in his voice a lot of the time.
That's exactly
so,
it. And he's just so optimistic. Like, and he's genuinely like an evil supervillain, but he's so nice to Homer.
Exactly. You know? Like, if you're part of his guys.
Yeah.
You know.
It's so nice to see. Like, I quite like that dynamic between him and Homer. And plus then when he's taking him through Globex and he's like, yes, Mr. Scorpion. Don't call me Mr. Scorpion, it's Mr. Scorpio.
First
don't call
of all,
me
I love, you will notice my new best friend that we are pretty casual here.
Yeah.
Like, my new best friend.
Yes, I will notice that.
Very casual, Mr. Scorpion. Don't call me that.
But I think the bit where he's...
Your favorite bit ever, like
I think it's my favorite joke ever.
Yeah,
and I cracked up just as hard this time as I always do.
Say, before we continue our tour, would you mind hanging my coat up on the wall, please?
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Relax, Homer and Globex. We don't believe in walls. Matter of fact, I didn't even give you my coat.
I can't even. Yeah. Like, it would take me 20 minutes to break down why I love that joke. So it's the shit eating.
Like head tilt or something. Yeah,
like, it's like the face. Yeah. And it's on backwards. And it's clearly
almost,
he just
it's
grabbed
almost
it.
If it's like painting him to keep this
keep
posture.
This going.
Yeah.
It is so funny. It made me laugh so hard.
But even like when Homer's like, he's like, what's your dream? And he's like, to work for you, he's like, don't do that. You know, he's like, you know, tell me what, you know, like he's actually like connecting with
Homer.
I bet
people laughed at you when he told him that dream.
Yeah.
You know, like straight away, he's not making fun of him at all.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's so like, supportive.
That's it. Like, and he's like, they laughed at me first time I wore jeans with a sport coat. Now every wealthy man in America does.
Oh, God. Brilliant. And then when Homer goes into his new team that he's managing and... he's just like, are you guys working? Yes, sir. Like, could you work any harder than this? You got it, boss. And they start typing like fast. I just love the way Homer, he looks so happy.
Yeah.
He just like adjusts his tie. He's like, hey, call me Homer. And he's like, for once, he's, you know, doing
the,
well.
The bit I just want to, because I don't want to miss any of these bits with Scorpio, to be honest, where he's like,
please.
Like, he's like, the key to motivation is trust. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to close my eyes and fall backwards. You fall backwards. I'll catch you. That's what trust is all about. Right. 3, 2, 1 second. Oh, there's a guy on the floor.
And even just his bit on the phone, it's like, he did? How much of it?
He's like, when did that happen? All right, it's like, Homer, I got to go. Somebody ate part of my lunch.
So good. Like, I don't think he delivers one unfunny line. It's quite a tour de force, to be honest.
Because it is a heightened, it's a wacky episode. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Everything's dialed up a bit.
But, like, I was just enjoying this Scorpio so much that, like, you don't even try and, like, pick anything apart from it. I think.
Yeah.
You can't, like.
And it wasn't Scorpio was going to be the bad guy in the movie, but they changed. It's still Albert Brooks, but they changed the character, which I'm kind of glad they did.
Yeah, because first of all, I would never want to see him again.
Yes.
But also, you can't make him a bad guy because he's too nice. That's the joke, like.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, it's the little bit that you see is what makes it funny.
Yeah.
You don't see his actual evil side, really.
And the only time you ever do is, like, he is so jovial about doing things, like.
And then
one point, I think, yeah.
One thing I liked about this episode that I don't know if I've seen since we started doing the podcast was that all four family members
have their own
little B plot or their own subplot or whatever. Yeah. And so you have Marge with the house is so perfect that it's cleaning itself.
Exercise, put your feet up, do something.
Watch
TV. Yeah.
And apparently they were toying with the idea of turning Marge into an alcoholic for this episode, but they kind of thought it was a bit too depressing.
I think they get the balance right with her being like, you know, her.
The fact that they just play that ominous music every time she takes a sip.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. It's like, I know they say you should drink a glass and a half, but I just can't drink that much.
And then Bart gets put in remedial class.
I like this. Don't know, like I like some of the jokes in it, but I'm also like, okay, like,
is this bad taste?
Not even is it bad taste, but I'm just like, it's a bit annoying, you know what I mean? Like, because he's clearly smarter, or like, he's not as remedial as the rest of the kids.
You're annoyed on Bart's behalf,
yeah. And then, like, but I have to say, like, some of the stuff where it's like, they're like, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the
fact that she says all the names and she's telling them to stop. Yeah. You know?
And then, I don't know why, I just pissed myself, burst out laughing, where he's like, Warren is patting him on the back.
Like, it's the fact that you just see his hand and then all of a sudden he slaps him. Warren!
It's getting, like, you see, like, the first two are like pats, and then the third one is kind of a little bit more, and then the fourth one is like, whack!
Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode is lousy with memes as well.
I'd say. The first one,
and particularly on Reddit, there's a few on Reddit that I don't really see anywhere else, but that Northern Reticulated Chipmunk meme.
Is that one, yeah?
It's everywhere on Reddit. It's and repurposed into different scenes and all this sort of stuff.
I did like the whole thing with the L. She's like, you're out kind of early. It's like, la, 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 la. And the owl just like sweeps
down. It's the la, la, walk away. Yeah. And then when it goes back to Homer's team and they're like all like tired out.
Well, no, it's kind of, first of all, Homer and the gang are like walking through the promenade and he gets the hat.
Oh, yeah, the hat. Yeah.
Oh. And I've always loved the whole thing. Like, I can't buy that. Only management type guys with big salaries like me can afford things like that. Wait a minute. Guys like me. I'm a guy like me.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
And he's just, then he's like,
he thinks the act of him standing there wearing the hat.
Like, he's like, it's the fourth quarter and the Lord gave us the atoms and we made to make them dance.
And they're exhausted, so he recommends hammocks.
Yeah.
And just the whole hammock bit. Hold on, just...
like, this is like next level, like galaxy brain writing, I think. The fact that he's like, first of all, it is such an unusual request to get hammocks for your team. And he's like, my God, why didn't I think of hammocks? And
then, another meme.
Yeah, of course.
All the time.
But then the next part is he's already considered the hammocks. He has a whole level of hammocks in his complex. Like, he's so impressed with Homer. Like, he's like, he's so impressed with Homer coming up with the hammocks, even though he has, in theory, already come up with, you know, the idea that people need hammocks. And so he has a whole floor dedicated to them. Like,
and the whole name, like, what's the name of some of the places? Do you have them there?
There's Hammocks or Us. Let's see. There's the Hammock Hut. That's on Third. There's Put Your Butt There. That's on Third. Swing Great. Low, Sweet Chariot. Matter of fact, they're all the same complex. It's the Hammock Complex on Third.
Oh, the Hammock District.
That's right, yeah.
That is like, funny.
It's so funny, writing. And then he's like, "One second, I gotta take care of this. Very important." And Homer just like standing, looking out the window, scratching his ass.
What? He literally doesn't. He's so polite and obliging. He's not even interested. Eavesdropping.
Like, he's like, "Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Scorpio. I have the Doomsday device. You have 72 hours to deliver the gold, or you'll face the consequences. And to prove I'm not bluffing."
It might have blown up by itself.
That's the only time you see him be threatening.
I love that. Like, that's the reveal, because you know something's up with him the whole episode. You know,
but that's the other thing. When he says, "I'm gonna need your guys to get the reactor up and running," or somebody mentions like a reactor, and I was like, "Oh, what's this?
We're gonna get that reactor up by tomorrow or something like that." Or
I think maybe his team mention it. They need to get and like, and you're like, "Oh, okay, whatever," and then like the next scene is him is this, he's a super villain, like, you know.
And I love his, like, when your man's like, "Maybe it blew up by itself," it's like, "Blew up by itself, you
I love the guy, I don't know why, just his delivery, like, "Oh my God, the 59th Street Bridge."
Oh, he's great. And I love just how quickly Scorpio leaves then. Like, "Goodbye," or whatever it is.
"Back to the hammocks, my friend." You know, there's a little place called Marianne's Hammock. The nice thing about that is Marianne gets in the hammock with you. I'm just kidding. Like, because Homer doesn't react. He's like, I'm just kidding. He's like, "Oh."
That's definitely an Albert Brooks, Stan Castellaneta exchange. The whole, and I was thinking as well at the start, the whole, where he's like, "Papaya makes you strong, like Papa."
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, that's what I meant to mention.
So funny.
These papayas full of papaya. Papaya.
Where would you get that? Where would you get anyone else doing that?
But he's it just seems like he's having an absolute blast recording this as well. Like, you know?
You can tell.
And like, that's the end of the second act where, you know, you're like, that's the reveal, where he's a supervillain. And then the next part is just Homer wandering around the complex like, "Any sugar around here? Try it there, Homer."
Plus, like, you know what, I love the fact that every time Homer goes in from now on to talk to Scorpio and he's in the middle of something, he always makes time for
that's
him.
It like,
he always talks to him, and he's like, you know,
he's like, he's like, "Sugar, hold on, let me see the out of his pockets. "Sorry, it's not in packets," and he's still working away, like, as he's
"You want any cream?"
No. The whole France Italy thing.
I was thinking, I wonder how France feels about that, because surely it's popular over there.
I think it was just the running joke of like, everybody hates France in the 90s, especially. I remember there was an episode of Married with Children where they go to England, and it was like, I think they end up in like the English countryside, and there was like people with actual pitchforks and stuff. And like, Al Bundy was like, "No, we don't like each other, but there's one thing we can all agree on. We all hate the French." And they were like, "Yeah."
Or actually, I don't know if you ever, so funny by the way, Rowan Atkinson's stand up. Where he plays the devil, and he's gone through lawyers, thieves, you know, he's like welcoming everyone to hell. He's like,
"Male adulterers, if you could just form a line in front of that small guillotine in the corner there." Thank you. The French. Are you here?
It's just the delivery is perfect.
I'd actually love to watch some of his.
I tell you what, I would love to sit down with you and watch that Rowan Atkinson live. It's fucking brilliant.
Like, he was such a acerbic comedian before he started. And like, Mr. Bean was obviously completely different style of comedy. Still hilarious, by the way.
I've only been watching it like the last couple of months because Joni's really into it, and it's like, and I never copped to realize the reason it's so popular around the world, because there's no real dialogue, so you can watch it anywhere, any country, and it's funny. You know, what
it's
I mean?
It's essentially mime. You know, like,
yeah, basically, like
it's that's so funny. But like, if you look at like when he was doing like Not the 9 o'clock News, and so that, like, he was such a like acerbic, like, comedy. And
what's acerbic? What's
like,
acerbic?
It's like, how would you say? Like, I would say like Bill Hicks or somebody. It was edgy,
right?
You know, it, like, his comedy was, it wasn't as soft as he became over time. Yeah. Like, you know, he was so
some
like
sharp edges.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and even with Blackadder, you know, that stuff was,
yeah,
it was very witty, you know, cutting, you know, but like,
yeah.
He was a bit more punk.
Like sarcastic or, you know.
Like, he was a bit more punk comedy when in his earlier.
He kind of came out with like Rick Mayall and a few of those that are around the same time, although I think they were from different.
I think Rick Mayall was definitely more punk.
Yeah.
Rick Mayall and Aidan Edmondson and stuff, like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's a crime that we haven't done any sort of podcast on some
bottom.
Sort of bottom or, you know,
do
something.
Guest House Paradiso.
I'd do it.
Phoebe.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Where was I?
Oh, yeah. So, he...
So, you have Scorpio with... blown up Italy, France. Then you have the story, and stop me if I'm jumping ahead, but where he's got Mr. Bunt.
Well, you have Bart in, you know, he's playing musical chairs. You know, that's depressing. Lisa is getting allergic to everything. Like, I did like that. He's like, oh, Mr. Chipmunk, I'm allergic to everything. He's like... just like blows it all in their face, like,
so they're all like, oh yeah, so sorry, so then
it's
then
just it's just showing
tackles.
Like marriage as well, like she goes to do the gardening and it's auto gardening,
it all starts itself,
know? And then you get like,
and so like the first he tackles him,
he's tied to the table first, and they have the like Bont, ingenious, isn't it, Mr. Bont.
Apparently that was the closest name they could legally use.
It's good. I think it's really good. Like, Scorpio, you're totally mad.
Like, I wouldn't point fingers, you jerk.
He's like, you expect me to talk?
I expect nothing from you except to die and be a cheap funeral.
You're gonna die now. And I love how it's like the coin, like,
yeah,
brilliant, and then like
so satisfying.
Stop him! He's supposed to die. And like Homer, just like Homer's just getting a candy bar or something.
Just like instinct, Scorpio says it, and so like he's. But and I love the reward. Like, he's like, when you go home tonight, there's gonna be a new story on your house.
But like, just like the graphic, like,
I love that.
Yeah,
that made it so much funnier.
Yeah,
it's just that little half second of like the guards gathering around and just firing on the ground.
Yeah, four of them with like machine guns. Like,
so just so there's absolutely no mistake, he is dead.
Yeah.
So like, and so he's really proud of that, and he's telling the family at dinner, and they're just miserable.
I do love the whole thing of like, we want to go back to Springfield. Yeah. Like, it looks, it's good. Like,
I feel bad for all of them, to be honest. Yeah. I feel bad that they are having a shit time. I feel bad that Homer is finally having a good time, but he has to listen to his family.
Homer's lying here. He's like, I'm actually good at my job. My team is way ahead of the weather machine and germ warfare divisions.
Yeah. And then I actually love the scene where Homer quits.
Well, like, first of all, like, just he's walking in and it's like everything is happening, you know, like
it's all kicking off.
It's insurrection.
Yeah.
And like, Homer, what's going on? He's like, Homer is asking him what's going on. He's like, I'm having a little trouble with the government. Don't get me started on the government.
Yeah.
And he's like telling him he has to move. He's like, let them go. We'll go bowling.
That, and there's something about that where he's telling him about his family want to yeah. leave, and it's the way he stares at him. He's like, stay with me, we'll go bowling.
Yeah.
And he holds it, and there's like a big explosion behind him, but he's still like just looking at him.
And it's like, oh, nothing big, it's just the little things. Oh, you can't argue with the little things. The little things that make up life. And like, your woman is doing like the... whatever the flip like
gymnastics
like crushing them with her legs and all, like.
Some giant man like gets crushed.
T-minus 14 seconds, like all these planes like
yeah, and he's still chatting to him about like, you know, he's quitting, like, and all this sort of stuff.
He's like, if you need anything, you call me. He's like, what's the number? I never had to call my own company. Somebody will tell you upstairs, but if you could kill someone on your way out, it would really help.
And then he jumps down with a flamethrower. That's the iconic where he's just like,
you're really missing out, Homer.
And then is that it? Then they go back home,
and then Homer gets a telegram.
Yeah. Now I don't really get this. Is it that the Denver Broncos were shite back then?
Yeah, I think so, because when. I think in the 2000s they were like Super Bowl winners and stuff, but at the
time,
that's
what I thought, because that was when I'd kind of like, I remember watching it when I was sort of familiar with
I'd say like on your NFL. Third or fourth watch or whatever, you're why, like okay. Doesn't make sense, but I think at 96 they were not, like the Cowboys were the big team in the 90s, right. I think, you know,
I mean, they were, I guess, saying that where every time they'd run in front in the foreground, they would be, the ball is just bouncing off their head, or they're not catching it, or something like that.
But I just love Homer, like, oh, the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
I love the fact that like the Scorpio gave him the Denver Broncos, so their team are just practicing on his front lawn, like nothing said.
Like there's no front office guys there to like talk to Homer. These the players have just been shipped to his front yard, like. He should like explain, you know, I think owning the Denver Broncos is pretty cool. He's like,
you just don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, what was it? Explain to me how it isn't.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, explain to me how it isn't. He's like, you just don't understand football, Marge. but like, I love the whole like Project Arcturus couldn't have succeeded without you. This will get you. Yeah, I know. Like, it's just, again, like the little stuff like that. Like, it's so good.
Super villain seizes East Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get it? Should we stop all this tomfoolery and talk about this episode? Yeah. What we thought of it?
Yeah. Get into ratings.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you think of it, pal?
It was a delight. After the first 2 minutes of the episode, I was like, uh-oh, am I not going to like this one? You know,
oh, really?
It's just like, because it really, for me, it doesn't, it kicks into like full gear
when
literally they arrive at the house and Scorpio, Papa, Papa, yeah, Papa, you know, that whole, you're like, I'm just like grinning from the rest. If it's a 20 minute runtime, I'm grinning for 18 and a half minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just so good. It would be, I think, on like most people's top five list of Scorpio when you say to people. And the thing, I don't know, we never actually talked about our history with it, but I always remember seeing it like when I was in like fifth class or, you know, around that time, and being like, whoa, this is amazing, you know, and like,
I remember feeling
like being one of the first ones on the boat of like saying, and again, like I only would have been about 10 or 11, but like amongst my Simpsons friends being like, this is the best episode, or this is, you know,
I do remember thinking to myself at the time, this, I think, is my favorite episode so far. And I remember being able to tell immediately when it cut to those like townhouses or whatever of Smithers at the very start when the episode opened. I was like, it's the one with Hank Scorpio.
Because it's such a unique opening, because it's no other, you know.
Actually, I think I pulled that on you before. Am I imagining this?
What?
There was one time we were watching...
We watched this in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I said, guess... I was bragging about how I could always guess the episode based on the first 10 seconds, and I said it to you. And it was literally that. It was the building, and you were like, Scorpio.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, actually. Yeah.
Surprisingly how high I would have been to be able to be like...
You were just so in tune with it.
Yeah. I think we might have actually watched this run on the DVD episodes when we were coming down off mushrooms, because I always remember like Scorpio's face seeming real like neon green yellow, you know what I mean, like regular Simpsons.
I always just remember cartoons, like I wouldn't get cartoons when I took mushrooms when we were like in Amsterdam, like I wouldn't get the joke, you know what I mean? I'm more looking at it and I'm like remembering from like almost muscle memory. That's a funny bit in inverted commas, but like it's not like I'm just staring at it.
I think because like when you're kind of cresting down from the mushrooms, when I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm just so relaxed and big smile eyes. But if you're not, if you're kind of coming up.
Remember we were coming up and we were watching The Simpsons.
We didn't like it because it looked like the lines weren't right or something like that.
Like, yeah, like their colour was outside the lines, basically. But I would be inclined to agree with you on this one that it was a
Stone Cold classic.
Top notch episode. And yeah, I mean, it was one of the few ones that really lived up to my memory of it. I'll tell you right now, my MVP is Mr. Hank Scorpion himself.
Of course, yes.
Can I push you for a rating, please, Terry?
I'm going to give it a 9.8.
Oh my. Well, that is quite something, Terry. I will also give it a 9.8.
Damn. No,
I hope I didn't steal your thunder. No. I know 9.8s are hard to come by, but I rated this very, very highly.
This is my number 2 of all time, I think.
Yeah, this officially ranks as my number 1, but yeah, it's top tier, and would highly recommend to anyone on Disney Plus.
Yes. I mean, look, if you're listening to the podcast, you know how good the episode is. Go watch it. It's fantastic. Yeah.
What are you listening to us for?
Yeah. Speaking of which, why don't you tell the people why they are listening to us and where they can find some more about us?
You're listening to us because you're here for some top quality content. But failing that, some Simpsons content too. And you can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, Put It In H Podcast. You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. And if you want links to our merch, to our other podcast, What's So Great About, and a bunch of other things, I'm terrible at this, you can find the link to everything on our Instagram page.
Look, I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Very nice, Terry. That's available at our link in Instagram. You can't see it, of course, but trust me, it's beautiful.
I like it.
What else can they find on that?
Now, you can find a little link to a little website called patreon.com/ put it in H.
That's the one.
Where we are creating podcasts, apparently. If you sign up for the low price of $5 per month, €450, you know, whatever, plus taxes, you will get 4 bonus episodes. So, 2 yes. of our patented sister podcast, What's So Great About, and 2 kind of bonus, what do we call them, free-flowing...
Bonusodes?
Yeah, sure. Free-bisodes? They're not free.
Unshackled. Unhinged. Yeah. Yeah. We talk about mad stuff where I pitch Terry some movie ideas. He pitches them to me. We come up with our dream festivals. Who's playing? What's food's been served?
We might make a playlist and go through it and see, you know, what's
we force each other's musical tastes on each other to see if we can win them over.
They're fun.
They're very fun. I got some good feedback on the emo one, Terry.
Oh, dear.
Saying, thanks for trying. I said, no problem.
You and your army of freaks.
Sideshow clowns.
So there's, you know, that's where all the good stuff is happening, really. You know, $5 gets you in there.
$4.50.
Yeah, €4.50. And you get, you know, pins and
losing
stuff.
Losing money on this.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're out of pocket. Now, if you can't afford the Patreon fee, you can help me out in another way. Now, we've just recorded the episode, You Only Move Twice. I don't need you to give me a review twice. I just need it once. One rating, 5 stars, one review. That's all we're looking for here. In fact, I don't think you can do it twice. So I just want to... Well, you can if you want to make up, you know, numerous accounts to really help grow the podcast and do it under pseudonyms. That's fine. Encouraged. Mm-hmm. Very encouraged.
Do what I did. See if you can find which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
But if the good folks out there that are listening can do that, it really helps grow the podcast. Get some more ears on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
They know what you mean.
Yeah. So, you know, the other way you can support us is by doing what you're doing right now. The base level of support and listening. And listening to our deuce tones here.
Oh. Ooh. Now, is it how do you pronounce that word?
Maybe it's dulcet. I don't know.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to call you out. I thought you knew.
You did. Sure.
I thought I was going to learn something.
Maybe, I don't know. Look.
Dulcet?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Dulcet? None of them sound right, to be honest.
I mean, who knows, huh?
Anyway, sorry, I derailed you there.
No, just want to say thank you. If you made it this far, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. We are so appreciative of it. As much as we plug the Patreon and slag you off for not signing up to our Patreon, it's all jokes. We really just love that you're listening, so thank you very much.
Goes a long way. And what have we got come up next week?
I'll tell you
right now. We got The Homer They Fall.
Oh, the hits keep on coming. Literally.
Yeah. So, you know, they do have a mother champ.
Yes, but I imagine that she would die from grief.
Yeah. And on that note,
boom.
Play us home.
Whatever Andy picked.
Yay. Scorpio, he'll sting you with his dreams of power and wealth. Beware of Scorpio. His twists of twin obsessions are his plot to rule the world and his employees' health. He'll welcome you into his lair like the nobleman welcomes his guest. With prenatal care and a stock plan that helps you invest. But beware of his generous pensions, plus 3 weeks paid vacation each year. And on Fridays the lunchroom serves hot dogs and burgers and beer. He loves German beer. He'll sting you with his dreams of power and wealth. Beware of Scorpio. His twists of twin obsessions are his plot to rule the world and his employees' health. He'll welcome you into his lair like the nobleman welcomes his guest. With prenatal care and a stock plan that helps you invest. But beware of his generous pensions, plus 3 weeks paid vacation each year. And on Fridays the lunchroom serves hot dogs and burgers and beer.